I'd like to talk about some topics related to the disk transition and instability. First, I want to talk about the linear stability of transition region against small amplitude perturbations, but I found that the result of my analysis is not applicable to actual transition region. So I changed the subject a bit, and I want to introduce recent works which has been made in our group in Kyoto, and which are related to transition radius and its stability. And I like to talk about four subjects. First one is a confirmation of Holmes' disk model with transition. It was made recently by Manmoto. And second one is a time-dependent simulation with transition. It was already published by Takeuchi and Mineshina in UpJay. So that is a preliminary report. And the third one is a wave propagation model for hard time lag. It was examined by Manmoto a few years ago, but recently Kawaguchi et al. Extended that work to more realistic case. So I'd like to talk about this problem a little. And the fourth one is some comment on stability of transition region against small amplitude perturbations. And then I'd like to say a little about my tentative picture on time variabilities and radius of transition region. First one is a result obtained by Manmoto. His purpose is to confirm Holmes' transition model. So he calculate the same parameter case as Holmes did. These are parameters he adopted. Then we have with the counter boundary condition where the disk is a standard disk, then we must satisfy the inner boundary condition of transonic condition. Then with these conditions we have two solutions. One is a standard disk which extends into the inner edge. And another one is in the outer region, solution is standard disk, but at certain radius, transition occurs into advection dominated solution, and then go to inward. And at the transition region, there is a pressure jump, as shown here. And the transition occurs in this parameter case around 80 shorter radius, which is quite the same which has been obtained by HOMMA. Yes?
Is that transition just imposed, or does it
no.
result from physics?
Yeah, the result of physics. I'd like to say that in this calculation, turbulent conduction is included in the radial direction. It is important to obtain such transition.
So the gas pressure, not total pressure, right?
In the outer region, radiation pressure may contribute at some part.
What I'm asking is because I see two different things. There's total pressure of there and peak gas down.
Yeah.
So I'm confused which of the two is being plotted. Is it total pressure or just...
Yes, yes. Total pressure. Yes. That's a mistake.
Yes.
Yes. And... So that kind of pressure jump is already pointed out by Marek and his group.
Jean-Pierre.
Yes.
Well, I guess I still need to catch up here. I mean, what is causing that pressure jump?
I'd like to say it because if accretion rate is equal in standard disk and K-DAF solution, then at the same radius, pressure in the standard disk is higher than advection dominated solution. So if we want to connect these solutions, pressure discontinuity is essentially occur. Inevitably occur.
All right, well, that explains why you have a pressure drop.
Yes.
One, if you postulate that you have a transition there, what I'm still, I guess, falling behind on is what physics says at this radius the transition is going to occur. Why does it heat up?
Why?
Is there some thermal runaway that occurs at when the cool disk comes into 80?
In our case, there was no physics. We only noticed that because of the difference in pressure for standard disk and ADAP, there should be a pressure behavior in the transition region of this kind, and this is something fundamental. Whatever is the physics of the transition, that is the way pressure behaves, necessarily, if the transition region is narrow. And then from this fact, we deduce some other physics. Not knowing what is the physical cause for the drop in pressure, we are able to deduce from the fact that there must be such a behavior of pressure, no matter what physics is, some other consequences. While I understand that what Sergi is doing and his colleagues in Kyoto is to look at physical reasons of the transition. So their work is physical and our was kind of more mathematical.
Whether we put this region, you assume that this region is about 100 coefficient at the, or this region.
No. In our argument, it was not important where is the transition region. As Sergi said, at a given radius, in the standard, this pressure is higher than
yes.
in other.
There are two different, I think, approaches. Our was, if there is a transition between Keplerian disk and a slow, very low efficiency, then such conditions must be satisfied. And what Sergi said is he created a model
as he's showing that in his model these conditions are satisfied.
Yes, yes.
The Tao is very general. If there is such a transition, it must satisfy this and this condition.
After this topic, I will show the time-dependent calculation of advection dominated part. That is a angular momentum distribution, and here is a transition radius, and that is a standard disk, and as you see here, angular momentum, and angular velocity of rotation is higher than standard one, because as I said now, there are pressure gradient, there are pressure discontinuity. So in order to get the steady state, pressure rotation must be higher in the disk model with transition. And it is more clearly shown by original Homer's calculation. It is angular momentum distribution. That shows the Keplerian one, but in Homer's calculation, counterpart is almost Keplerian, but as the transition point, angular momentum increases suddenly and then decreases, and that is and here around here the rotation is sub Keplerian, but around here rotation is super Keplerian, and centrifugal force overcome the gravitational force, and so pressure force is inward.
I would like to say something here, if you allow me, Sergeant.
Yes.
That this picture, which can be seen from this plot from Hanna's paper, in this paper which Sergeant mentioned, done by Igor Jean-Pierre and myself, was proven to be some very general feature of the transition.
Yes.
In the transition region, rotation must be super Keplerian. Now,
yeah.
that is not only some mathematical interesting point, but it tells us what are the outer boundary conditions for others. Radius of other, at the radius of other, or close to the radius of other, rotation should be Keplerian. If other joins for the larger radii, Keplerian disk. Therefore, in general discussions about what are the other solutions, one should keep in mind this outer boundary condition. It's very important. And just to mention, in this toy model of Paczynski, which perhaps many of you have read, this boundary condition is fulfilled. His model is that there is some angular momentum characteristic for other, which is far from Keplerian, but the outer edge, his toy model, for outer edge of other, where it joins Keplerian, this is exactly Keplerian, and then it is Keplerian all the way to infinity, which is not strictly correct, but the most important point, namely that close to the outer edge of an other rotation should be strictly Keplerian, is a realistic outer boundary condition which models should fulfill. For this reason, most of so-called self-similar models which do not fulfill these conditions are not consistent.
The low part, the angle minimum decreased outward in that position.
Yeah.
In itself seemed to be people generating stability.
That is not necessary. You can fit a line which angular momentum has always a positive slope, and if the transition region is supercapillarian. And that is exactly in the figure which Stoji shown in our paper. In our paper, dl/dr is always positive, but there is a small supercapillarian part in the transition region. So the fact that the slope is negative depends on the model. The fact that it must be supercapillarian is a genuine property of the transition.
This is under the assumption that you have one type of solution and then a boundary and then the other type of solution. I assume that they're...
No, this is the assumption that anywhere it lies at the large radius.
But we can
play on this.
Right, but we know that in principle at some radius you could have two different solutions for the range of surface density. So in principle you could have thin disk dying out with a smaller and smaller mass flux, and add appearing with a larger and larger mass flux at some radius, and there could be some intermediate zone.
I'm not talking about the intermediate zone. I'm saying that if asymptotically for very large radius you have something which can be described by Keplerian disk, and asymptotically for small radius you have something which can be described as others, then in this intermediate zone rotation should be supercapillarian.
Supercapillarian.
Yes. Therefore, it must go somewhere to capillarian rotation.
Right.
Sure. This is what I said.
And so supercapillarian is a will always occur. It will be independent of model.
Yes, that is a model independent fundamental property of transition.
Why
does it
have to be supercapillarian? Why
is that
the pressure
round? Pressure force is always inward.
Pressure is pushing
it inward. Yes. So to get the steady state rotation must be supercapillarian.
That's because the thin disk is a high pressure.
Yes. That's right. And that is in the radial force equations, Mammoth compared various forces, but it is not so important now. So from the calculation made by Mammoth, he calculated the same parameter case with almost the same equations with using independent code. So, and they obtained almost the same conclusion. So, I suppose that there are no calculation error in original Hommas calculation. And then I like to talk about the next subject, time-dependent simulation with transition between cold and hot gas. That work is made by Takeuchi and Menesime, and his original purpose is to explain the phase transition between hard and soft state. And the important point is that in their calculation, turbulent conduction is not considered. But in the previous one, the presence of transition, heat conduction is necessary, I think. But in this calculation, it is not included yet. And as is well known, this is the equilibrium sequence in M dot sigma plane, and that sequence shows a optically thick branch, and that is optically thin branch, and the convection branch is here and here, and if alpha value of viscosity is smaller than a certain value, then we can obtain the Demit cycle oscillation by the existence of summary unstable state. And there are many simulations studying such oscillations. But it is not clear, and there are transition from optically thick branch to optically thin one. And that is the purpose of Takeuchi and Menesing's work. And they obtain that if alpha is larger than 0.3 and mass accretion rate is comparable with the Newton critical limit, then they show that there are transition from optically thick one to optically thin branches. In order to study the optically thick branch to optically thin branch, they considered the radiative cooling, which is applicable to optically thin and also to optically thick branch. So that is the same with Sotoskovich and Miller-Alpert, maybe. And they obtained such results. This shows time evolution of temperature distribution and surface density distribution, and also optical depths. And the original equilibrium state is shown by blue curves. So that is an optically thick branch. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows the time evolution. And in the inner part of optically thick branch, there are thermal instability, and by this thermal instability, temperature increase, and drift motion is also increased. So surface density decreases, and by decrease of surface density and also by expansion, optical depth decreases much, and finally it becomes optically it suggests that the inner part is enter into the optically thin branch. And but after certain stage, optically thin inner region shrink, and final state is almost optically thick, and only inner part about four Schwarzschild radius, optical spin path still remain in the final calculation. And
so
yeah,
most of the mass is gone by that point?
Yes.
How much of the mass has gone away by that point? Most of it?
It is in the original steady state, mass accretion rate is very close to Eddington limit, and so it around here maybe super Eddington critical rate, but I don't know exact value.
Yeah, okay.
And they interpret that result by equilibrium sequence in temperature sigma plane or m dot sigma plane. And as we know, if the alpha value is small, then that is optically thin branch, and there are another optical thin branch. That shows M dot sigma plane. And if alpha increases, then the topological structure of equilibrium sequence in this plane changes. And it was pointed out by Marek and his collaborators some years ago. And in this diagram, if alpha equal to UDT, then the topological structure becomes like this. That is a kind of action of a branch. And that branch of Shapiro-Deitman hardware is connected with standard TDS model. And by using that diagram, they study the evolution of models. And in the inner region, that is a evolutionary sequence. And inner region, evolution occurs. Here we have thermal instability, so the model evolves along this sequence. And but in this calculation, the disk enter into the optically thin branch and evolve like this. But in the outer region, by the presence of thermal instability, disk evolve along this sequence, but cannot enter into this branch, then fall and make the limit cycle oscillation. In the outer region, we have such oscillation. And this is shows the evolution of shape of the disk structure. And initially, we have an optically thin disk, and by the effect of thermal instability, inner region expands, and it becomes a radius part. And transition occurs around here. However, finally, outer cold gas invades inward and the decayed half part disappear. So it is a result of calculation. Yes.
So it goes back to the original?
Yes, yes, almost original state.
The original state is
stable? No, still somewhat unstable, so the oscillation will repeat maybe. But there are, yes.
I have another question. You know, at this transition region, there is this discontinuity in angular velocity.
Yeah.
There must be an increase in dissipation. Right, because you have these bigger shears.
Yes.
So there's a spike in the energy dissipation in the E dot. Because the temperature just seems to grow and then stay.
Yeah.
I would have expected some spike
in
the brightness of the disk at about that region, because below and above the angular velocity changes more continuously. There were there is a sharp discontinuity in the shear.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Why there should be discontinuity in the angular velocity? Well, isn't there? I mean, the omega change, right, at the transition region. Yeah, but... So doesn't that make a difference in shear? But there is no steady state in this calculation.
If exactly steady state is realized, then we must have Sasaki discontinuity. But in this calculation, they follow the time evolution, and there is no steady state. So discontinuity is not so sharp in this calculation, and I don't know what is the relation between that calculation and Homer's steady model. But the important point is that in this calculation, turbulent conduction is not included. So even if the paid up solution extends outward, the cold gas enter into inward and finally invention of cold gas overcome and then become such cool gas finally. But if I suppose if we include the effect of turbulent conduction, then at a certain stage the cool gas coming inward would be heated by conduction, and there would be certain steady state. So to compare the time evolutional calculation and steady solution, it would be important to include turbulent conduction. So Takeuchi now attempting to extend that calculation so that turbulent conductivity can be included in his calculation. And I think he will obtain soon the preliminary result. So we can compare steady solution and also time-dependent calculation. And I think we can understand a little more about physics of time transition region.
This is the slimmest approximation. Is it
three?
Yes, but one angular velocity as a function of radius.
Yes.
But if you're going to talk about thermal conduction from the central plane to the vertical plane in the vertical direction, you can also talk about viscous energy. Okay. But I mean, if you wanted to make an alternative to the model or a different set of approximations, you might want to consider angular velocity, a serious function of height. And then this issue of the matching condition becomes more, it's not, that wouldn't be quite the same in this case. You could have a region with low angular velocity sitting on top of the center.
We are simply assuming that the angular momentum is constant in the vertical direction.
It would be interesting to play around with models in which you had shear transport angular momentum.
To just stress it, we do agree, there is very strong division, what you have said. In this paper, which was quoted by Sergio several occasions by Igor, Jean-Pierre and myself, you said that transition region is very complicated. It's necessarily 2D. And one of the reasons is exactly what you have said. One cannot have a good model of transition region in just 1D.
So you have to be trusted, you make 2D models.
Next topic is wave propagation model for time lag, and the problem of time lag in X-ray stars has been discussed previous seminar by Mike Novak, and also he pointed out the wave propagation model, but quite recently Kawaguchi extended Mammoth's model, so I'd like to mention a little about his results. And one of the important characteristics of time variability, interesting characteristics of time variability is pointed out by Nengoro et al. They say that, that is an example of time variability of X-rays. So that will be seminus X1, and there are many spiky structure. And Nengoro et al. Superposed these time variability, and they found that by averaging these spiky structure, they obtained that the time variation is almost time symmetric shot. The variation is an ensemble of these time symmetric shot. And the interesting point is that before the peak, the spectrum is soft. However, after the peak, spectrum become hard. So, if we consider some models of time variability, we must explain that point. And there are many models, as Mike explained in the previous seminar. One of the most popular one is the presence of Compton cloud. But there are other models, and we want Mamoto considered wave propagation model, and at a certain radius, thermal perturbation is transported inward with a convection flow, and then it reflected back at the inner edge as outgoing acoustic waves. And in this model, he obtained almost time-symmetric profile of short time variation, and also he obtained soft spectrum in the before the peak, and after that it became hard. But in this calculation, he made by one temperature disk model, but the spectrum depends strongly on the electron temperature structure. So we must, and electron temperature will not equal to ion temperature in the usual model. So Kawaguchi extends that model into two temperature one, and they also considered realistic cooling processes and examine the time evolution. And then,
yes. The coupling between the ions and the electrons, they assumed what? Just the Coulomb? Yeah,
just the Coulomb coupling. And the thermal perturbation go into inward, then deflected back as an acoustic wave. And they calculate the spectrum. Then we obtain that is the before the peak, the soft component is stronger than hard component. However, after the peak, soft component decreases sharply, and hard component is slower. And in this calculation, it is stopped here. But actually, calculation was performed until it drops, and actually in that calculation shows that low energy component decreases to the decrease, but high energy component decreases more slower. So by this model, almost symmetric time profile, and also soft hard transition is qualitatively explained. And I'd like to mention why spectrum become hard after the deflection at the sonic point. Now we consider thermal perturbation. Then in the Gaitas model, the pressure variation associated with thermal mode is not so big. So if we consider pressure, no, density perturbation, then it means the temperature is low compared with the average state. And such thermal perturbation is transported inward by convective motion. And then inner edge, around the inner edge, there are strong discontinuity. So that perturbation is decomposed into thermal mode and viscous mode, and also inward going acoustic wave, and also outgoing acoustic wave. And around the sonic point, these perturbations are swallowed into the central object. But outgoing acoustic perturbation is just standing around the inner edge, and so energy is accumulated here and then propagated outward. And in the acoustic perturbation, if we consider the state where density perturbation is larger than average state, then it implies that temperature is higher than average state. So before the peak, we have soft spectrum, but after the peak, we have hard spectrum. So that is the main cause why we obtain such hard time lag. And there are another interesting model of hard time lag. That is called the dense gas fall into the central object. I think that model is interesting for me, because I will show that point later. The next subject is the stability of outer region of ADAPS and transition region itself. And dynamical structure around the transition region is very complicated. That is a schematic picture showing that situation. Here we have transition region and outer region of accretion disk, and here is a central region of accretion disk, and above the discontinuity we have a standard disk, so density is higher, and below on the transition region, the disk is ADAPS, so we have low density gas. So we may expect some kind of daily Taylor instability. At least transition region. However, as I emphasized before, the effective gravity is inward in the outer region of transition. However, inner region is a super Keplerian region. Super Keplerian structure is essentially occur, and so the effective gravity is outward. So we cannot expect Rayleigh-Taylor type instability, even if we have dense gas above the discontinuity. And at this point, effective gravity is almost equal to zero. And ground just below the transition region, it may occur static structure. It may depend upon the model, but there are possibility of static situation. Then we can expect daily instability around here. But that thickness is very, very thin, maybe. And another possibility of instability is here we have super Keplerian region, but if we go inward, then again the effective gravity is inward. And however, we can expect density inversion around some point. Such a situation that does not occur in self-similar solution. However, if we want to connect ADAP solution to standard solution, then we must have such situations. And if such a situation occur and effective gravity is inward, then we can expect convective instability in the outer region of KF path. Here is a stable, but below that we can expect convective instability. But such kind of convective instability, I suppose it is not so strong because of the effect of rotation. Rotation suppress the convective instability strongly. What I like to emphasize here is around that point, we can still expect Barbas-Foley instability. The situation there are high density gas and low density gas, and effective gravity is something like that. However, here we can expect Barbas-Foley instability. I think it is interesting because by that instability, cool gas is mixed into inner region of ADAP, and some magnetic bubbles will enter into this inner region and fall into.
Yes. Do not understand why ground is cloudy.
Here?
Yes.
But pulsatory, the angular momentum distribution, angular velocity distribution decreases outward. So then we can, almost all cases, we can expect bulbous wall instability.
What is supposed to drive viscosity in the other parts? It's not about viscosity.
Other
part?
What
part? I don't understand why
that
is not special. Even, I like to emphasize, even in this point, we can still expect.
Yes, even here. I'm having trouble visualizing how you actually get this kind of a transition in which there's a smooth, you know, structure that goes from a thin disk to an ad solution. When I think about this, I think of the thin disk as being, you know, roughly Keplerian,
yes.
And the adduct region as being sub-Keplerian,
yes.
To some extent. And so, if I think of these two regions in close proximity to each other, near each other, then I see the region on the outside has a high angular velocity and the region on the inside has a low angular velocity. So there's viscous transport of angular momentum from the thin disk to the adduct. That means, I think, that the thin disk loses angular momentum and moves inwards, and the adduct gains angular momentum and moves outward because it has its own pressure as well. And so it seems to me the two regions have to overlap, if you follow this argument, that you would end up with a thin disk at some region, significant region radius with a corona on top of it.
They overlap.
And then there's shear in that region. So you can't assume it's similar in the velocity.
What Sochi calls transition region,
it's quite large.
Yeah.
You just
described how corona
time
exists
and where the corona
heat is.
Well, in this transition region, I mean. But the thing is then that all these arguments about this radial transition in all these quantities is not adequate. Because in fact, it's the vertical structure that's crucial here.
But this is just.
And in fact, it might extend further in.
Yes. So I mean, I would like to see maybe you even have a decade of radius where the thin disk is sitting under this
would be wonderful because this would be the first physical model.
This argument is adequate. Because what Sachi is saying is what in a case of few specific physical models, and what Jean-Pierre Iger and I said in general, is based on the following general argument. Transition region is complicated and we say don't know what happens in it. But if this is a transition region between standard disk and adduct, then we know what are the properties in the standard disk far away from transition. And we know what are properties of adduct, again far away from the transition. Now just judging from these properties and assuming in our paper that the transition region width is less than R, this delta R is less than R. Yeah. If we assume this, because we don't know what is the physics, then all these arguments come as mathematical necessity. You cannot avoid them. It must be super Keplerian and all these kind of things. However, vertical structure is complicated. Now you may say that the transition region, delta R, is greater than R, which may be a possibility. But then we are not talking about transition between two non-solutions, but we are talking about a different solution.
Yeah.
Neither
are
that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. So I mean, I'm thinking that maybe this transition region may extend.
I think we have to put in a vertical disk. And also, I'd like to say that if conductivity is very small, then the transition region may also become narrow. So,
and so
quoting this Italian model of Paczynski, it is an excellent model of the transition. If transition region is very narrow,
yeah.
If it is very narrow, then we don't know. It is not necessary to know anything else except what is in this term model. That's fine.
Right.
If it is extremely narrow, if it is not extremely narrow, then physics of the transition, of course, is important. Vertical structure.
Also, there's an interesting point. Is there a transition between the thin disk to something?
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah. Is this transition narrow? Because the transition between the thin disk and others is one thing. The transition between the thin disk and this structure that we can think about the name of it. Also, I think that if you believe some observations about this inner disk going in and out, it should be rather sharp, this transition between the disk and something.
I think it's very attractive because for the iron lines we need both the corona and the cool disk. Keplerian cool disk and the slower rotating corona above it, and then have, you know, the shear between the two and then energy flux into the
corona. I would certainly be happier if we found that, in fact, all of these models also included as part of the structure of this corona, because I think that many of the arguments about the adaptive specifically just ignored the idea that there could be a corona because maybe it was thought not to be necessary, but I'm not sure I understand why it's not necessary.
But I think if you look at the paper by Unentity, there's a sort of similar like that.
Well, there's a picture like that.
There's a picture, yeah. But it's not what
I'm here.
We need the chemical students.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'd like to now, as I said, now even in the transition region, we can expect the bad pass Fourier type instability. Then it is interesting because cool gas is mixed into hot gas. And in this point of view, I'd like to point out that interesting observational evidence. That was discussed this morning, but I'd like to say a little more. That is an object with 67 Hz QPO, but that object has another type of QPO which varies from 1 to 15 Hz. And interesting characteristics of this QPO is the following. That QPO appears when the power law component becomes hard and intense, and the spectrum of QPO energy spectrum is consistent with power law component. However, the frequency of QPO is strikingly correlated with the parameters of some disk component. It is interesting point. And in the following sense, correlated with the following sense, if the thermal component increases, the frequency decreases. And the interpretation of, I like to show some figures here. That is the X-ray count, and the count decreases. It means that thermal component decreases. Then that is the frequency of QPO decreases, and if this increases again, then increases again, and frequency increases. And that QPO is correlated with soft component. That is the spectra and intensity of disk component and parallel component, and the horizontal is a frequency of QPO, and as we see here, the disk flux increases, then the frequency of QPO increases.
So what's the difference between
disk
flux and
parallel
flux?
Parallel flux.
And the disk is not parallel,
disk is
thermal?
Yeah, that is a thermal component. And so, it can be interpreted in the following way. The soft component, the thermal component, the intensity of thermal component increases. It means that that component enter into to the central object. Then the frequency of QPO decreases. Frequency decreases. Yeah, time scale of QPO decreases, and so as I said, now the QPO is existence of QPO the existence of hard component is essential for the existence of QPO. So QPO occurs around here in the ADAS part, maybe. But the frequency is determined by soft component. And the soft component enter inward, then the frequency increases. So there are two kinds of possibility. One is the trapped oscillation in the ADAS part. But I don't know whether a cool component enter into inward, then it is necessary that if cool component enter, then ADAS part must shrink. Otherwise, frequency, there are no correlation between that intensity and QPO frequency. But I'm afraid that such kind of structure will occur or not. So another interesting possibility is that from the inner edge of the thermal component, magnetized bulbs fall inward. And in these papers say that the time scale of QPO is almost equal to the drift time scale around here. So if magnetized bulbs falls inward, then that time scale from here will be almost comparable with that observed time scale. So it is, I think, interesting for me. But anyway, as I said before, in order to explain that time scale, time lag of X-ray variations, we mentioned wave propagation model and also bulb propagation model by Liang. And in both cases, the problem is what is the origin of such perturbation, and I think that the instability around the inner edge of the transition region will be the origin of such kind of perturbations. So my tentative conclusion is that the transition region is unstable perhaps against the perturbatory mechanism, and it becomes the origin of cool gas supply into the Eidos inner region. And also, outer region of Eidos is also will be unstable against convection, but it is not so important, maybe. So that is important point. And because of these instabilities, I suppose that the counterpart of Eidos is inhomogeneous, and there are many fluctuations, and also high density region and cool high density region are mixed in the low density region. Such kind of inhomogeneity will be the source of time variability and time lags in hard state. For example, wave propagation model, such kind of sources will be necessary, and also in blob propagation model, such instability also necessary. And from the estimate of time darks, the origin of time variations must exist around 100 Schwarzschild radius, something like that. So if we consider that the origin of perturbations required by these models exist at the transition region, the instability of transition region, then the transition region will be exist around 100 Schwarzschild radius, not 10 to 4 Schwarzschild radius. Then it is consistent with Homer's model, and we can expect so at least in X-ray stars, transition region may exist around these radius. But I don't know about AGN. AGN, in the case of AGN, we have much strong hard components, so we must hit it. Will not be good, but I don't know where about this. But in any way, that is my tentative picture.
Yeah, I was wondering, certainly the time lags would be in the right direction, but I was wondering if, I don't know, from the previous graphs you showed, would the magnitude of the time lags agree in
the zone? Oh, magnitude?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, magnitude of time lag is around 0.1 second to 1 second, and it can explain if we assume some perturbations is propagated inward with advection flow, then the radius, the original radius around 100 short radius. So I said this one. Yes. And original Thomas model in which transition occurs is about 80 short radius. But it depends upon, of course, the parameter we adopt. But order is almost the same. So I suppose the Thomas model is not so bad. that is all.
The thing that still bothers me about doing it this way is that if you push it out to 100 RG to get the longest timeline, at some level you're still going to get compensation sneaking in at high frequency is giving you that minimum timeline to gel. And 100 RG might be too big of a coronal size. However, if you start pushing down RG to make this work, then you have the problem that the advection time step is going out of the three halves. So you're really shrinking the timelines if you start shrinking this coronal radius down. If you want to shrink the coronal radius down enough so that the compensation doesn't give you the minimum timeline step, but you don't see the data. So it might be problematic to make both ends fit simultaneously. Yeah, you can make the longest timeline this way, but you do need a coronal size about that big. It's not clear whether that would then agree with the shortest time lapse seen at the same time. Right. That's the trick.
What was the shortest?
Well, at the shortest time lags, at some point, just the difference in diffusion times through the counting corona between the soft and hard photons, that's going to come in.
Yeah, but this is something that this one is a problem.
Well, true.
Well,
for example,
the longest one is
That's the problem.
Yeah, it doesn't solve the problem.
It's the same problem.
Yeah, it's a dynamic range. I think there are many irregularities around here, so we can explain maybe a short time of the battery time lag.
Maybe.
Yes, it was very, very interesting to see a more detailed comparison, you know, of the whether the model can be fitted to the actual.
Yes. And I'm now interested in whether Barbas 40 instabilities actually can be expected in the transition region. And if so, I think it is interesting to make simulation how the blobs fall from transition region inward. Maybe some blobs. It is similar with the Taylor instability, and if you consider such a perturbation, then it grows at a certain point, then it becomes blobs and falls into central object, and such is situations will occur at the various point here and sometimes here, then the blobs will fall from transition region sporadically into the KW region. And I think such kind of simulation will be interesting, and also it is easy.
Can one say anything at all about the shapes of these oscillations? So, I mean, they really look like sine waves, or if you autogram type of analysis would they be?
You mean that I don't know where about
the... I mean, I've seen the power density spectrum, but I was wondering if there's enough data to actually say something about the shapes of the GPOs. The actual...
1915 there is, I don't know about 1655.
What could you say in
1915? 1915, they're pretty amazing design sort of. And that actually...
The amplitudes are very low.
Yeah, it's a combination that the frequencies are low enough, or at least some of the lower frequencies, you can see they're sinusoidal, because you've got 20,000 counts per second or more, and you've got very low frequencies, so you can actually just see it directly in the light curve, and you can model it. In fact, you can find out that the GPO is modeling a sine wave, and it's just a phase you can't see.
What's the amplitude of these GPOs for 1655?
It's in this paper, right. At least a few percent.
It's much bigger than the 67 hertz. So.
It's bigger than the 67 hertz, which is on the order of 1%. But I think this is like the 5 to 10%
range, from what I remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll do as well as you can measure it. There's some fact, to some extent, the fact that you're not seeing harmonic the same. So.
Yeah.
Well, if I may just mention, I like Mitch's idea quite a bit as a possible model for making the iron line flares. You know, one of the things that disturbed me with the iron line is that you have to posit there is a flare that for some reason goes off, and there's a cold disk in the corona. You know, on other occasions there is no reason to argue for a cold disk in the corona. It seems like, you know, in a situation like this, you might have an instability where you have this overlap of the ADAP and the cold disk,
yeah.
You know, which happens on occasion. Right there you have your corona, you know, it will be fed by the fact that the disk itself is rotating faster, so there will be heat flux going up, and, you know, so you have your disk, you have your corona, you can make your flare, then it goes away. So you have a flare mechanism, actually.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I think it'd be a great thing in this workshop to sit down and try to put together such a model. I'm worried that it's going to be underdetermined, though.
Well, yes, yeah. You don't know what this is coupled with.
There's two dimensional stuff going on here, kind of work. But let's talk about the different processes they're going to use. Viscous coupling, which you address. Then we have to decide whether there's just a rather thin boundary layer here in which case.
That may not matter because if you had a thin boundary layer, it would be convectively unstable, so you have mix of the heat.
Or on the other hand, it could be there's more or less global magnetic coupling. And that would be a few doubt, that would be a nice clutch.
But I don't think you have to worry about having a tremendous temperature stratification where you have huge entropy near the disk and then lower entropy higher up.
If all the dissipation was right here, that would simplify a lot. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. But for instance, there could be reconnection going on here, just to raise that up. Then there's some other issue. You have to decide when and where matter is interchanged between the two phases.
Okay.
Is there evaporation going on here, or is there cooling going on?
That is exactly the problem, because in some kind of close simulations we have done, in the data which was mentioned several times today, so it's a rather complicated velocity pattern. It is that matter leaves this inner part of the cold disk. I said it was a time model, but nevertheless it may be something which is a general property, that matter goes up to the other part,
yeah,
and then goes back to the disk. So it's just...
So give me the master value,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah be more complicated. But I'm wondering if we consider these as just a transitory instability, which just lasts for a short period of time, during which we have iron, this iron line.
Well,
that's true. But these might go and go. You know, it might extend all the way in. For all we know. Like the transition begins maybe at the 100, but if you look at this, would extend temporarily all the way in.
I'd be happy with a more or less time-independent model first,
yeah,
and then a time-dependent model.
I was just wondering.
But there are a bunch of issues here. There's business coupling. There's mass interchange. And then there's all three to transfer. There's a little soft photon thing injected into
the time. I mean, it's actually nonlinear because this is like when you have the disk underlying the app, you have different radio transfer issues and different things.
That's right. So I think it's very tempting to kind of put together such a model, but yeah. It's complicated. I'm worried it's going to wind up being pretty determined.
Don't think so, excuse me.
What did you say?
I said it's film not experience. Yes. It's exactly what it is. It's extremely tempting. But then when we are going into more and more details, and when you realize that it's not necessarily to be, it is extremely complicated. And I am very pessimistic that anything that numerical simulation can really give us some clues how it works.
I tend to agree, you know, that it's a very complicated. And that's why I was wondering whether there is any way in which one can simplify it, such as, you know, let's just assume that for some reason the cold disk, you know, even if temporarily extends all the way in to the last stable orbit, and you have these overlapping data, and there's just this mismatch between the angular velocities, and then that drives some kind of
heat. Yes, I understood. I like it.
Yeah, but there is an implicit assumption that we know how to treat the vertical structure of the surface than this, but we don't.
No, I think that
I think it's exactly the spirit of this paper that
has assumed that all this happens at the surface, or all this happens at the equatorial.
So I think that you said, Michael said something. To the dimensional I think still it is important to understand the physics in the operation of fundamental.
Because of course we may do these story models. And of course then it is very, very important for kind of educational purposes that we do understand possibilities. But we will never know whether these toy models
the only way if one can work one of these toy models and get one or two observational signatures,
right.
Perhaps
yes.
Match something. If they don't go over there,
yeah.
That's why the toy model should be very simple.
I like that in the approach. You made a similar suggestion that for this island life, you should try some other scenarios. That it's not only lamp about cold disk or something else. So in this respect, that is a very good project, just to see whether the possibilities to share this have been unique or not.
So what is the project?
No, I said I'm pessimistic in the sense that if we are trying simple models like that, it would be
you have to make progress. it's a lot simpler than the full 2D problem.
Yeah,
I might treat that in the word. So the question is, what could one, if anything, extract from such a small model? I mean, I thought, you know, that, you know, it serves as a toy, perhaps, model for explaining the error line, but I don't see that it will produce a signature that could identify. It's just a little explanation.
I misheard what the model is supposed to be. This is a scenario.
I guess the idea on the table is to put together sort of a 1.5 D log, perhaps a lot of the two vertical zones, and attempt to put it in these various physical processes and understand, make something.
This has been attempted by the Myers.
They assumed the co-rotating corona, which I think is a problem. Because in fact, you can't have, if you have a hot corona, which has a large amount of pressure support, you can't have the same Keplerian velocity as this. And the assumption is that somehow it's held in place by magnetic field lines or something.
I'm not saying they solved the problem, but it was the first time.
John Pierre, I think that's right. I mean, this would be something in the spirit of the Myers.
But in fact, it was Bozena's take an approach which had elements of this. I just thought that Bozena's approach did, in fact, involve some shear between the discus corona, although I don't know if she had discus transport from the discus corona.
She had two separate outputs.
Yeah, but they didn't have a vertical.
So I guess what worries me is that we can work out probably the physics of the full model, but I'm not sure what the observation and signatures might tell us.
So that's what signature will be in policy goes.
But that would be the only way to test whether it makes any sense at all. So
observation. So the observation assumed that the soft part is this and it's represented by multicolor black bodies. And then the corona, multicolor for themselves, they say, but we don't know if it is not the right interpretation, but we know nothing about the radius. So, the observations are not to us.
Well, in these models with the single zone models with a transition region, I'm still puzzled as to what extent these models have a transition which is required, and to what extent they're an assumed transition where you calculate the self-consistent property. Because obviously, in many cases, you have situations where there are two possible solutions that you can calculate mathematically, and there's some argument that you will get transitions between one and the other, and you want to calculate what the properties are if you get those transitions. That's what we've been primarily talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, but the only one that I know is the one model, mm-hmm. one exclusive.
Right.
Maybe this is taking a big combo, which is very interesting. But he's not the only one. But the only one I know. Very simple. It's amazing how it works.
First, how many people are going to get in? I think I'm going to miss it by 7 babies.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and you guys too. So we got 12 total. It's in De La Guerra Plaza, which is right off of State Street, and I think across the street is near Coda, because it was.
I'll send that email.
It's
out of the
Brio.